Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Well, it's not on the top three list of things that you shouldn't talk about in polite company. Talking about feces probably comes in fourth behind religion, politics, and salaries. However, for a growing number of Americans suffering from debilitating illnesses of the gut, conversations about fecal matter are pretty much standard. Patients desperate for a cure for drug-resistant diseases like Clostridium difficile and incurable chronic diseases like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis are looking to fecal microbiota transplantation as a revolutionary way to reset their own microbiome and potentially save their lives. Emily Aiken is a freelance journalist and former senior editor at The New Yorker. She wrote about the emerging field of fecal transplants for The New Yorker. And Emily, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what is FMT, or fecal microbiota transplantation?
Yeah, well, most people call it FMT because it's such a mouthful to say. It's a procedure, a fairly crude one, in which stool is taken from a healthy person and transferred to the colon of someone who is sick.
Okay, so this is done with an incision? How do you transplant?
Actually, that's a really good question because there are various ways to do it, and researchers are trying to figure out what is the most efficacious way to make that transfer. But people have tried nasogastric tubes, enemas, colonoscopes, and even capsules, which in the field are called crapsules of stool, as ways to get it into a sick patient.
I guess I'm not the only person who's immature about this. But what's transplanted? What does it do?
Well, it turns out fecal transplantations are the chief medical application we have right now, coming from this whole new field of science, the science of the microbiome, which is the study of the microbes that live inside us and outnumber our own cells by 9 to 1. Most of these microbes live in our gut, and what the research is showing is that they play a pivotal role in our health and can even be instrumental in treating disease. So our easiest access to them right now is through our poop.
Mm.
So a healthy person is eliminating microbes on a daily basis, most people, and those microbes turn out to be invaluable medical tools for treating certain kind of illnesses.
What's the history behind this treatment?
Well, it's a really interesting history because the first known fecal transplants were done in China in something like the 4th century, where we actually have the first handbook of emergency medicine written by a 4th century Chinese physician. And in it, he mentions administering something called a yellow soup, which was a fecal suspension for the treatment of people who had severe diarrhea or food poisoning type conditions.
Okay, where'd it go from and there?
Yeah, then it kind of disappears and resurfaces sometime in the Renaissance in Europe. There is an Italian anatomist who writes about what was called transfaunation, which was the use of fecal transplants in veterinary medicine. But there wasn't a lot of talk about using it in human beings in the West until about the 1950s. In 1958, in the United States, a surgeon in Colorado who noticed that his patients after surgery would often contract severe bacterial infections that were increasingly resistant to treatment with antibiotics, and some of them were very, very sick, even dying. And it occurred to him that he could try implanting healthy stool into their colons and as a possible treatment. He was desperate. And what he did was go to a nearby maternity ward where he knew there were young, presumably healthy women who had avoided antibiotics because they were pregnant. And he had a resident take stool from the maternity ward, bring it back to his his surgical unit and administer it to his patients. Dr. Eisman published four case reports at that time recounting the rather miraculous recovery of four of these patients who had received fecal transplants virtually within hours. They had recovered. And nobody picked up on this until, maybe the last 10 years or so, when simply the motive was simply more and more people, typically hospital patients, coming down with these antibiotic-resistant bacterial infections. And there was literally no obvious medical treatment. So in desperation, going through the case histories and finding Dr. Eisman's accounts, led more and more doctors to think that they should try to do stool transplants.
How do hospitals and doctors obtain the material now that is then transplanted?
The new thing, the new source of access to stool in the last couple of years has been this stool bank started by a couple of graduate students at MIT.
Oh, this is the open biome that you write about? What's the story there?
The story there is a graduate student at MIT named Mark Smith had a friend who had contracted Clostridium difficile, and his friend was young, in his 20s, an otherwise healthy man who needed to go to the hospital for gallbladder surgery. And when he came out sick with Clostridium difficile, and he underwent round after round of antibiotic treatments for his condition. He failed to improve and was at a certain point was unable to maintain his job. He was that sick. And had read about stool transplants, couldn't find a doctor to do one, eventually found a doctor who was at least willing to research the procedure, but was basically on a wait list for 6 months and ended up giving himself a stool transplant at home using his roommate's stool. So his friend, Mark Smith, thought this was just outrageous, that a treatment that was pretty universally available and known to be effective for the treatment of this particular condition was just so hard to get. So Mark Smith recruited a friend to help him start a stool bank modeled on a blood bank. The idea was, well, gee, these are young guys. They're at MIT. They know a lot of other healthy young researchers. They'll recruit them to provide stool anonymously. They'll screen these people, make sure they're healthy, make sure that their stool has no pathogens in it, and then they'll sell it just at a very low price to cover their costs to hospitals and clinics where these sick patients are.
We're speaking with the writer Emily Eakin, who wrote for The New Yorker about a controversial medical treatment called fecal microbiota transplantation, or FMT. She wrote about the procedure and some of the patients who have benefited from it quickly and markedly. Do I dare ask how one does a DIY fecal transplant?
Yes. So first place they're apt to go is to the internet. There are literally dozens of how-to videos on YouTube that'll walk you through the equipment you need, how to do it at home, who to get your stool from. And then there are also support groups on Facebook where people who have done this, you know, trade suggestions with other people who want to do one. So there are sort of these underground networks for DIY fecal transplantation.
Well, any risks? I mean, any kind of DIY health procedure or medicinal procedure could have some risks, right?
Absolutely. So it's a little alarming that people are resorting to these DIY methods, and there have been a lot of anecdotes of people even using their pet feces when they were unable to find a donor. Some real eyebrow-raising stories. However, the interesting thing is, for the most part, there have been very few reports of adverse events. There have been a couple of case reports of people contracting a virus or an infection following a fecal transplant. Whether it was directly tied to the fecal transplant hasn't been proven. But, of course, there are risks. And that is why doctors and the FDA stress that one should always be screened before you donate your stool to someone, or if you're a patient, before you accept a stool donation. You want to make sure the person you're getting stool from doesn't have a transmissible disease.
How effective is the treatment for C. diff patients?
It is it's incredibly effective. Doctors are amazed when they did the first randomized controlled trial involving fecal transplantation. The trial was published in January of 2013. Over 90% of the people who received a fecal transplant as opposed to the standard antibiotic treatment or a placebo treatment recovered. That's just a really high figure in medicine. I'm told that nothing in medicine has a cure rate of over 90%. And in fact, the trial was stopped early because it was determined that it was unethical to continue when the patients receiving the transplant were doing so well.
Huh. Are there other diseases that might be candidates for FMT?
Yes. So the field has moved on now from Clostridium difficile to looking at autoimmune diseases are a big subject that people are investigating. And, of course, that includes a whole host of conditions. The most prominent ones among autoimmune diseases that are likely to benefit are ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, but people are also looking at conditions like allergies or autism. Children with autism have often horrible gut imbalances, microbial imbalances, and there have been case reports, again, just anecdotal at this point, no rigorous studies, I'm told, of children who've been treated with fecal transplants who also have autism and who recover verbal faculties following the treatment. So there's some tantalizing preliminary evidence that this sort of treatment is likely to benefit other conditions.
Well, it just sounds like an amazing story. But why do you think, Emily, it's such a challenge to get treatment for patients? I mean, is it about people feeling uncomfortable talking about poop?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I read that there's one study that it was really a survey of patients and physicians that found that the biggest obstacle to treatment was not the patients, but the physicians. The patients who were candidates for fecal transplants quickly overcame their reflexive revulsion at the idea. It was the physicians who thought, gee, this is messy and disgusting. I don't really want to be working with poop. But apparently that attitude is changing. And Open Biome, the stool bank, is growing at something like 18% a month in terms of its clientele. So it started out with just a couple of clinics and hospitals and now ships stool to 36 states. I mean, that figure is now a month out of date, probably. That's probably changed. Mm. So I think fecal transplants is increasingly big business, and I think it's available just about in any big hospital in this country. But I think it's also worth saying that a fecal transplant is still a very crude procedure. We don't know which microbes in our guts are the ones that are truly beneficial. So you get them all when you get a dose of stool. Mm-hmm. And in the future, the treatment is likely to be much more streamlined and concentrated. So the 15 really effective microbes for your condition will probably be filtered out into a pill that you swallow.
Well, Emily, what a story. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Emily Egan is a freelance writer and former senior editor at The New Yorker. You'll find a link to read her article, The Excrement Experiment. It's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Stick around for more Word of Mouth. When we return, we'll find out what happens when composing a really bad Christmas song landed the gentle-hearted Sean Hurley on an inflammatory commercial radio show. Santa meets the shock jocks after the break.